Our programme today is entirely dedicated to coverage of Pope Benedict's ongoing pastoral visit to Portugal and taking a closer look at this small nation located on the western shores of Europe. The Pope's first leg was the capital of Lisbon, where he spent 1.5 days, and in the late afternoon of Wednesday he flew by helicopter to his second leg, the nearby village of Fatima, home to the famous Marian Shrine, where Our Lady appeared to 3 shepherd children in 1917. The third and final leg of this 4-day papal trip to Portugal is the northern city of Porto. Pope Benedict spent Wednesday morning in the capital, Lisbon, where he began by meeting representatives from the world of culture, science and the arts. Our correspondent travelling with the Pope in Portugal is Veronica Scaresbrick, and she filed this report on that meeting.
Striking modern architecture close to the waterfront for Pope Benedict's encounter with the world of culture on the second morning of his apostolic visit to Portugal. It's the Blame Cultural Centre, built to host Portugal's presidency of the European Union in 1992, and now acts, most of all, as a venue for numerous international exhibitions, from photography to mixed media installations, cultural events and congresses, and is also an arts complex with the city's largest auditorium. And in this auditorium, a radiant Benedict XVI was greeted by all present, with unusual cheering from this kind of highbrow audience from the world of culture. One, which included representatives from the entire diplomatic corps on Portuguese soil. Also present were representatives of the Jewish, Muslim and Hindu community, as well as members of the Portuguese Evangelical Alliance and of the Ismailite community. And the Holy Father was welcomed, fittingly, by the President of the Commission for Culture of the Portuguese Bishops' Conference, Bishop Manuel de Clemente, who will also be acting as his host as Bishop of Porto on the final day of this 4-day apostolic journey. A bishop recently presented with the prestigious Pessoa Award for his contribution to culture in Portugal. A significant gesture, the latter, given the church in Portugal, was once distant from the world of culture because of past anti-clericalism. But another Manuel was there to greet him, acting as dean for the cultural world in Portugal. A famous film director whose surname is De Oliveira. As a matter of interest, he'll be presenting his latest masterpiece at the forthcoming Cannes Festival. For once, perhaps, the Pope could enjoy the wise words of someone older than he. At the venerable age of 102, De Oliveira is a Jesuit-educated Catholic. And while religion takes centre stage in his films, he admits to never having read anything the Holy Father has written.
Dei o título ao que vou dizer, religião e arte.
And when he spoke, he highlighted how from the beginning arts and religion have been linked to Christianity. The roots of Europe and Portugal, whether we like it or not, are Christian, he mentioned, and have inspired a wealth of artistic masterpieces. And at the end of what was a brief speech, Benedict XVI got up from his chair to shake his hands, and the film director bowed as he presented a gift from the world of culture, a silver box in the shape of an egg, with a porcelain dove inside, symbolic of inspiration, peace, and of the Holy Spirit. And then the Pope responded, giving his address in Portuguese, thanking him personally for his kind words, for having given him a glimpse of the concerns and mood of the soul of Portugal in this turbulent period of the life of society.
De facto, a cultura reflete hoje uma tensão que por vezes toma formas de conflito entre o presente e a tradição.
Today's culture, Benedict XVI went on to say, is in fact permeated by a tension which at times takes the form of a conflict between present and tradition. The emphasis on the present clashes with the powerful cultural tradition of the Portuguese people, deeply marked by Christianity and by a sense of global responsibility which came to the fore in the adventure of the discoveries. A conflict which finds expression in the crisis of truth, highlighting how the Church has a mission of truth to accomplish, something it can never renounce. Then, quoting from Paul VI, the Pope focused on the importance of the dialogue of the Church with the society in which she lives, a priority, he said, in today's world. Given the reality of cultural diversity, people need not only accept the existence of the culture of others, but also to aspire to be enriched by it and to offer to it whatever they possess that is good, true, and beautiful. And addressing himself to those present, he asked that they in turn be not afraid to enter into dialogue with believers, with those who, like yourselves, he added, consider that they are pilgrims in this world and in history towards infinite beauty. Benedict XVI's final words were of encouragement.
Fazei coisas belas, mas sobretudo tornai as vossas vidas lugares de beleza.
Produce beautiful things, he asked, but above all, make your lives places of beauty. May Our Lady of Blime intercede for you, she who has been venerated down through the centuries by navigators, and is venerated today by the navigators of goodness, truth, and beauty. With the Pope in Portugal, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.
Later in the morning, the Pope held a private meeting with the Portuguese Prime Minister José Sócrates at the Apostolic Nunciature. His later engagements on Wednesday after arriving in Fatima were scheduled to include a visit to the Chapel of the Apparitions to pray there and the celebration of Vespers at the nearby newly built Church of the Most Holy Trinity, together with priests, deacons, religious and seminarians. Back to Tuesday, the first day of Pope Benedict's visit to Portugal, this was spent entirely in and around Lisbon. Its highlight was an open-air mass celebrated in the early evening in a large riverside square before a crowd of more than 150,000 people. Veronica Scaresbrick tells us more.
Gusty skies and water, water everywhere. That was the backdrop for Pope Benedict's altar, framed by the great river Tejo that flows through Lisbon. And the altar, even that, was linked to the river bed, intended as symbolic of the rocks from there. The floors turquoise blue to better merge with the river. The designer, Jorge Assis, had a minimalistic approach for the venue of the first Holy Mass of Benedict XVI as Roman Pontiff on Portuguese soil. And the applause went up as he appeared in his popemobile. And the cheering drowned the sound of the foghorns, the squawk of the seagulls. One could barely hear the choir singing the welcoming hymn, Bem-vindo. Expressing their delight that O Terceiro Papa, the third Pope to come here from Rome, was there with them in Lisbon before going to pilgrimage to Fatima, the spiritual heart of their seafaring nation. And in his homily, the Pope referred to that past.
Glorioso é o lugar conquistado por Portugal.
Portugal, he said, has gained a glorious place among nations for the service rendered to the spreading of the faith. In all five continents, there are local churches that owe their origin to Portuguese missionary activity. When he began speaking, the crowds, 150,000 strong, spilling over to the neighboring squares for lack of space, listened in silence in the impressive square of the venue, the Terreiro do Passo, meaning Promenade Esplanade, a place where, before the Lisbon earthquake of 1775, a royal palace once stood. Tough to imagine that devastation, the ensuing tidal waves today, grandiose as it is at a glance with its landmark triumphal arch, lined by elegant classical buildings with yellow facades resting on galleries in elegant Pombalin style. A style which draws its name from the surname of the Prime Minister of the time, the Marquess de Pombal, who on a positive note may have been responsible for the rebuilding of the square under the monarch Dom José, represented in the centre of the square in an exuberant bronze statue on horseback crushing writhing snakes afoot, but on a more negative one, was regrettably an anti-clerical figure, responsible for breaking with Rome. And in this square on the waterfront with these strong anti-clerical connotations, the Pope highlighted how in times past the departure of Portuguese seafarers and evangelizers neither impeded nor severed their bonds with their faith, referring to the Christian wisdom with which they'd accepted cultures other than their own, with an open mentality, showing strength of mind, he insisted, rather than apparent weakness. A cultural and religious identity, the Holy Father noted, that the Portuguese can provide in the context of the European community. Let's recall for a moment how this nation defended its Christian roots while co-drafting the European Constitution. Benedict XVI then went on to focus more specifically on the local church. We know, he said, that it is not without its quarrelsome and even rebellious sons and daughters, but it is in the witness of the saints that the church finds her most profound joy. Role models, then, for these quarrelsome, rebellious sons and daughters. Highlighting then the pastoral priority for all Christians today, inviting them to be radiant witnesses of the gospel within families, culture, economy, and politics. Often, the Pope remarked, we take for granted that faith exists, a notion regrettably less than realistic, going on to question ecclesial structures and programs in the distribution of powers and functions, remarking that excessive trust may have been placed in them. To avoid this happening, it is necessary to proclaim anew with vigour and joy the resurrection of Christ, an assurance that no adverse power will ever be able to destroy the Church. And all the while, on a height on the opposite bank of the river, the giant 50-year-old statue of Cristo Rey, Christ the King, stood tall behind the Pope on a height, arms outstretched. And when the Mass ended, Pope Benedict marked the 50th anniversary of the shrine there, built by the Church to respect a vow of thanks for Portugal not entering the Second World War. And for the rector of this shrine, the Pope had a message which was directed to the young, asking them to take example from the bishops and faithful Christians of that time, who respected a vow made, leaving us in sculpture a symbol of their love and gratitude for the preservation of peace in Portugal. And later, when all ended, the Vicar of Christ on Earth opened his arms to young people gathered outside the Apostolic Nunciature, his rest place in Lisbon. These future generations, who may not have been allotted a dedicated time in the course of this apostolic journey, took it upon themselves to personally meet the Pope, uninvited. With the Pope in Portugal, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.